Okay. So in the past, we spoke about the awesome phenomenon of prayer, the great privilege that we have to be able to speak to an almighty God who is so great, he's way beyond our wildest imagination. We don't have to make any special arrangements before coming to God in prayer. Try speaking to any head of state without making any special arrangement. It just won't happen. Yet we can come to the Lord as a child comes to a parent in time of need. How great that is. But sometimes we may be tempted to think that the Lord isn't paying attention to our prayers or has forgotten our request. You know, if there's a delay, sometimes our mind wanders. It's like, isn't God paying attention? Or has he forgotten our request? Not a chance. This morning, I would like to speak about the fact that God will never forget us. He answers every prayer. He is very aware of each event in our lives. We say that the Lord is omniscient, meaning all-knowing, but sometimes we need to be reminded that nothing escapes him. Nothing escapes him. He is totally aware of every single detail of our lives. He hasn't forgotten even one of our prayers, including the very first one that we said to him as a child. I don't remember what my first prayer was. God does. God sees, he hears, he knows. He understands everything about us and cannot forget. He is watching us and caring for us with the love that will not let us go. So if we could turn to Genesis chapter 16, just a few examples this morning of how God can and doesn't forget. Genesis chapter 16 and verses 7 to 14. Give you a moment to get there. Genesis chapter 16, and beginning at verse 7. Now, at this point in time, just for some background information, you'll remember that some hard feelings developed between Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and her maid, Hagar. If you remember, they both agreed, Sarah and Abraham, that Abraham would have a child with Hagar because they figured, well, we're not having a child. Maybe they thought God forgot. I don't know. But Hagar did have a child, and strife developed between Sarah and Hagar. So verse 7. Now the angel of the Lord found her, Hagar, by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man, his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all his brothers. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are a God who sees. In other words, what she called the name of that place is interpreted as that you are a God who sees. For she said, have I even remained alive here after seeing him? Therefore, the well was called Beer-lehi-roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So God had already made a promise to Abraham that he would have a son. We discussed this maybe about a month ago. But Abraham and Sarah took matters into their own hands and decided that she should have a child with his maid, Hagar. And as we said, a harsh relationship developed between Sarah and Hagar, and Hagar left the house of Abraham and fled into the wilderness. But the Lord saw Hagar in the wilderness and did not forget her. He even made a promise to her that he would greatly multiply her offspring. The Lord sees us when we are in the spiritual wilderness. He does not forget us or his promises to be with us and take care of us. And we read about that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Hagar spoke words which are still of comfort to us today, which are, you are a God who sees. God sees everything, doesn't miss a trick. I'm going to read, if you would like to turn with me, Psalm 139. I'm just going to read verses 7 to 12. Psalm 139. Verses 7 to 12, some more qualities of our wonderful Heavenly Father. Psalm 139, and beginning at verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, which is hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. There is no place on earth or in the entire universe that God cannot see. Nothing escapes his vision. Darkness cannot hinder or obscure his vision. God sees darkness as if it were light. And there's a line from a song, an old hymn called, entitled, King of All Kings. It says, darkness can't hide me, he'll find me, I know. For men are his diamonds, and he loves me so. When you go through a dark period in your life, God sees you. And you know what? He's right next to you. Darkness will not hide you from God. I'm going to read, if you want to turn with me, these are really good verses too. They're all good. Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to read verses 27 to 31. Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 27 to 31. Isaiah chapter 40 and beginning at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? I love this. Do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow weary and tired, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Can anything be hidden from the Lord? Aside from having perfect vision, he has telephoto vision. He has wide-angle vision. He can see everything at the same time. He has microscopic vision. His vision is never blurred. He doesn't have to squint to see anything. He doesn't need corrective lenses. He'll never need LASIK surgery. His eyes are never dim. This is wonderful. His eyes are never dim and never get old. No matter what condition we are in, he sees, he knows, he understands, and he cares more than we could imagine. I'm going to read Exodus chapter 3. I know it seems like a lot of reading this morning, but these are short passages, and it's really bringing out the point. Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to read 7 to 14. Exodus chapter 3 and 7 to 14. And the Lord said, talking to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and a spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite, the Hivite and the Jebusite. Now therefore the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. The people of Israel were in Egypt for about 400 years. You get that information from the book of Genesis chapter 15. They may have thought that God did not see and was not aware of their situation. But the Lord told Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. If you have been in an affliction for an extended period of time, don't lose hope. God has surely seen your affliction. Nothing escapes God's eyes, nothing. God hears. Let's just back up a page or so to Exodus chapter 2, just two verses. Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 23 to 25. Exodus chapter 2 and verses 23 to 25. Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of their bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. The Israelites in Egypt, it said the Bible said they cried out. But the Bible doesn't say who they cried to, does it? Some of the Israelites in Egypt began to worship idols. Who did they cry to? An idol can't hear. So who was listening? God was listening. God was listening. He saw, he took notice. He heard the cries of his children who were in bondage and hurting in Egypt. We were in bondage to sin and hurting, but the Lord saw our pain and misery and heard our cries. Amazing love, mercy, compassion came through Jesus. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, as we read, God heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. I have heard their cry. God was aware of the cries of his children and was going to do something about it. The Lord identified himself to Moses as I am. And the Almighty I am was going to deliver his children from bondage. No matter how powerful the Pharaoh of Egypt was, he was no match for the Almighty God. We may have our problems, afflictions, and hurts, but Satan is no match for the Almighty I am. The Almighty I am sees, he hears, he knows about your problems, and he will act. Hundreds of years later, the king of the Assyrian Empire, Sennacherib, defied the Lord, but he found out he was no match for God either. Now, I'm not going to read it, but we might remember that Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, sent letters to King Hezekiah, who was the king of Judah, and the people of Judah. Sennacherib sent his letters to Hezekiah and the people of Judah to taunt them and to terrify them, saying he would completely destroy them. And the Assyrian army was one of the most brutal armies that ever existed. They devastated the lands that they fought against. The lands that the Assyrians attacked were not able to stand against them. But when Sennacherib was preparing to attack Jerusalem, he didn't know who he came up against. He sent letters to insult God and his ability to deliver, saying that no God has been able to withstand me, and neither could your God. This is what he said, and neither could your God. He will not be able to deliver you. King Hezekiah of Judah, even though he was overwhelmed, acted wisely in contacting the prophet Isaiah and presenting the letter to the Lord in the temple. When we are overwhelmed and in trouble and affliction, there is always an answer and relief and comfort in prayer. Through prayer, we can approach the Lord at the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies in the temple. That is a great privilege. Why do I say that? King Hezekiah took the letter from Sennacherib, went to the altar in the temple. He wasn't allowed in the Holy of Holies. If we remember, only the high priest was allowed in the Holy of Holies. And that was only once a year on the Day of Atonement. So King Hezekiah, even though he was king, could not go in the Holy of Holies. But thanks to the sacrifice of Jesus, guess what? We can go in. We can present our petitions to the Lord in the Holy of Holies at the mercy seat, and God will hear us. We can bring our afflictions to Jesus, who was known as the Christ of every crisis. And is it wonderful that Jesus is never in crisis mode? Nothing overwhelms him, thank you, Jesus. And he is never in crisis mode. He sees our struggles, our afflictions. He knows our fears. He knows our hurts. He sees when Satan comes against us with fiery darts. He hears our prayers and defends us. No matter how bleak our situation, God is able. Remember that he refers to himself as I am, which means he is totally and infinitely able. After Hezekiah prayed to the Lord about Sennacherib's threat, one angel kills 185,000 soldiers in one night. Sennacherib got up and his army was gone. They're all dead. Sennacherib shook his puny fist at the Almighty God and was miserably defeated. Let's take it to the New Testament for a bit. I'm not going to read it, but do you remember when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and he was asleep in the hinder part of the ship? Who knows? Disciples probably told him, you go to sleep, go ahead, we'll handle the boat. Not considering a storm rising up on Galilee, which is very common. But Jesus was asleep on the pillow in the back of the boat. And the waves were beating into the boat. Jesus wasn't affected by the wind and the waves, but you know what? What did he hear? He heard the cries of the disciples. He wasn't paying attention to the wind and the waves. He's creator. But what did he hear? Even in his sleep, he heard the cries of his disciples. He did hear the cries and the distress of the disciples. And he always hears our cries too. God remembers. Remember Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel, prayed earnestly to the Lord for children, and the Lord heard her prayers. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19, it's up on the screen. And the Lord remembered her. And the Lord remembers each one of you. And online, the Lord remembers you. Keep that in mind. Take that home with you today. The Lord remembers you. Hundreds of years later, the people of Judah were in captivity under the Babylonian Empire. I want to read to you. You can turn with to me if you want. Psalm 137 and verses 1 to 6. Psalm 137 and 1 to 6. People of Judah were in captivity in Babylon. Psalm 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. When we remembered Zion, upon the willows in the midst of it, we hung our harps. For there our captors demanded of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the Lord's song in the foreign land? And God answers, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Now, we see the word mirth there in the text. Mirth refers to gladness and joy. But God answered in verse 5, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. When you see the unfathomable complexity of God's creation, do you think that the Creator will ever forget his skill? Do you think so? Do you think the Creator will ever forget his skill? Nope. Thank you for whoever answered. The answer to that question is God will never forget you. Creator's not going to forget his skill, no way. And he's not going to forget you, no way. going to read, I said this is a short reading, but all these points are really driving the point home. Please turn with me to Isaiah 49, and we're going to read verses 14 to 16. They're short readings. Isaiah 49, verses 14 to 16. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. So an abnormal mother may forget her child, but there is no chance of God ever forgetting his children. Jesus died for us, and the nail prints are still in his hands, as we know. Israel may have been going through a very difficult time, but it didn't mean that God had forgotten his children. We may be in an affliction for an extended period of time, but it doesn't mean that the Lord has forgotten us. Don't let a waiting period fool you. Don't let a waiting period fool you. God never forgets. God understands. God knows how we feel because he can feel our hurts. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 reads, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. God understands us more than we could know. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 reads, Jesus said, come unto me, because he knows the burdens that we carry. He knows about our pains. He sees our afflictions. He knows our trials. He sees our tears. Psalm 34, verse 6 reads, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. If you've ever been alone and cried and no one heard you except God, when you thought you were alone and no one was paying attention to your cry, your hurts, God heard your cry. God felt your hurt. God was paying attention to you. He hears every cry, and you can be sure that it affects his heart, that great, great heart. Psalm 55, verse 22 tells us, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 56, verse 8, you have put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? God bottles our tears. Your tears are in heaven. So you think God's not going to do something about your tears? He will act on your tears. If God bottles your tears, how could he not be paying attention to you when you cry to him? Nothing escapes God's vision or his hearing or any of his senses. He made the senses. Why wouldn't his work perfectly and beyond what we could think or imagine? From age to age, he's the same. Therefore, he will never have hearing loss. His eyes will never get dim. He will never get dementia. He sees, he hears, he knows, he understands. He cares beyond what we could think, and he will never forget us. Chorus to a song entitled, God Can't Forget. It reads, can a river forget how to run? Can a woman forget her own son? Can the sun cease to set? Yes, they may, but my God can't forget.